It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began.
Standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I see you again.
We've come a long way.
Yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I'll tell you.
When I see.
Your way and the vibe is feeling stronger. What's small turn to a friendship turn to a bond, and that bond will never be broken. The love will never get lost. And when brotherhood comes first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach. So remember me when I'm gone.
Can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
Let the light guide your way. Yeah. Hold every memory as you go. And every road you take will always lead
Hello and welcome to a special Friday edition of Penguin Radio's newest sports talk show, In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams. We are broadcasting live on 102.3 FM and at Dominican University in California, not to mention radio.dominican.edu and Instagram live stream again for the second week in a row. We've got a great show for you tonight coming up this hour. Sam Marin High School alum and sports aficionado, my good friend Sam Greenville, and later Santa Barbara City College cornerback Leo Seavey. So stay tuned for that. But tonight we start with day 7 of Where Will Kyrie Irving Go? For those of you that haven't heard or have been living under a rock for the past week, Cleveland Cavaliers star point guard Kyrie Irving has requested a trade. According to reports, Irving and his agent Jeff Welchler made the request during a meeting 2 weeks ago with Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert. The four-time All-Star and NBA champion stated that his preferred locations would be the New York Knicks, the San Antonio Spurs, the Miami Heat, and the Minnesota Timberwolves, though it should be noted that Irving's contract, which has 3 years and $60 million left on it, does not have a no-trade clause. The news comes after a tumultuous offseason for the Cavs in which they fired their general manager, David Griffin, failed to add to their roster in any significant way, and have had rumors of swirling of star player LeBron James leaving following this season. James himself was singled out by Irving as one of the reasons for the request. This has led to growing tension between the two camps and has led to many insiders believing that he is all but out the door. The first question you're probably going to ask yourself is, why does Irving want to leave a team that just made three finals and won one? Why does Irving want out? Well, he's tired of playing second fiddle to LeBron James. It's LeBron James' world and everyone else is just living in it. Many people have said that, and I tend to agree with it. He runs the Cavaliers organization. He does everything. He's the coach. He's the GM. You know, he's the star player. He basically is that team. He is that organization. He doubles its net worth. I mean, you look at Forbes report for how much the Cavaliers were worth before LeBron James and how much they were worth after. He is the Cavaliers. Why does Kyrie Irving want out? Because he wants to be on his own team and he wants to be what LeBron has. He wants to be that alpha dog and he wants to run his own team, his own organization. Irving, look, never signed up to play with LeBron James. As has been reported multiple times this week, Kyrie Irving in 2014 signed a deal thinking that he'd be the face of the franchise, and 2 weeks later, LeBron James decided to come back. He signs a 5-year deal, and less than 2 weeks later, LeBron says, you know what, I'm taking my talents back to Cleveland, I'm going to come home, and sorry, Kyrie, but this is my team, I'm going to run it, there's going to be a giant poster of me outside. Kyrie Irving now wants the chance to do that for himself, whether that's in New York, which is his home, or that's in San Antonio, or that's in Miami, or Minnesota, or Phoenix. He wants to be the face. He wants to run his own team. Many people have said that's selfish. I don't tend to agree with it. Not at all. Look, what's selfish is LeBron James to hold a gun up to everyone else in the Cleveland organization and say, this is what I want. These are my demands. I'm holding you ransom or I leave in a year. That's selfish. What's selfish is LeBron James saying to all of his teammates in Cleveland, look, I'm not going to tell you if I'm going to leave next year. You can sign these deals. You can do, you know, you can commit here long term, but I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm not going to give you any reassurances. Look, all LeBron has to say is I'm not leaving. And none of this would have happened. None of it at all would have happened. But he didn't. He hasn't said one word about Los Angeles or, you know, squashing those rumors. He has just acted as if he doesn't care. You know, going to Laker games, you know, socializing with players on other teams. Look, he's out in Las Vegas right now, buddying it up with Russell Westbrook, buddying it up with all these guys. He is not helping the situation whatsoever. Obviously, reports came out 2 days ago from Rob Parker of FS1 that LeBron, even after the championship, tried to have Kyrie Irving traded for Chris Paul. I mean, if you're Kyrie Irving, how does that sit with you? You just won a championship with this guy that's basically saying to the whole world that, you know, he wants to be your big brother, he wants to mentor you, he wants to make you into the next great player, but behind your back, he's you know, trying to get a trade done for his best friend. How does that feel? I mean, any of us out there ever had a friend that's backstabbed us? No. It's a terrible feeling, and I think that's how Kyrie felt. He felt hurt, and he wants out. He doesn't want to be in LeBron's shadow anymore. And look, I think a lot of guys feel this way. And LeBron opened the door for this. When LeBron made the decision in 2010, he decided, look, I'm pro player mobility. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't care what the fans think, and I don't care what the owners think, and I don't care what anyone thinks. I get to control my own destiny. And Kyrie Irving is just reading LeBron's playbook. Kyrie Irving has a chance now to create his own destiny, to go where, maybe not where he wants to go because he can't control that, but to go to a team and create something for himself. And isn't that what everyone wants in life? To own their own business, to create their own destiny, to do what they really want to do, to not feel like they're a prisoner of someone else? That's how he felt these last 3 years. A lot of people will say, oh, you know, he's selfish, or oh, you know, he's spoiled. He made it to 3 straight finals. Maybe that's not all Kyrie Irving wants. you know, you can succeed in life, you can make a lot of money, but not be happy. Kyrie Irving's had a lot of success that doesn't make him necessarily happy. Look, it was great to win a championship, and he'll probably never forget that for the rest of his life, and he'll probably always be grateful to LeBron for that. But he wants to be his own man. He wants to do his own thing. He wants to run his own team. And I can't blame him for that, and I don't think anyone else can, because if you have the opportunity to go off on your own and do something really extraordinary, take it, even if it's a huge risk, even if it fails and blows up in your face. If you are comfortable in that belief, do it. Kyrie Irving, I'm giving you the go-ahead. I know you don't care, but request that trade all you want. Follow no one, especially not LeBron James. Create your own destiny. Thank you. Coming up, I'm joined by fellow San Marin alum, Sam Greenville, to discuss what's next for Kyrie Irving and the Cavs. You're listening to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams on Penguin Radio at Dominican University in California, broadcasting live on 102.3 FM. The way you never lie, my ear, the only words I want to hear. Baby, take it slow so we can last long. Tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso. Oh yeah. Ya me está gustando más de lo normal. Todo mi sentido va pidiendo más. Esto hay que tomarlo sin ningún apuro. Despacito. Quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído. Para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito. Quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firmo en las paredes de tu laberinto. Y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito.
Suave, suavecito, nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito. Y es que esa belleza es un rompecabezas, pero pa' montarlo aquí tengo la pieza, oye. Oh yeah.
Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firmo en las paredes de tu laberinto. Cierre tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito.
This is how we do it down in Puerto Rico. I just wanna hear you screaming, ay bendito. I can go forever cuando esté contigo.
Pasito a pasito, suave, suavecito. Nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito.
Que enseñes a mi boca tus lugares favoritos.
Pasito a pasito, suave, suavecito. Nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito.
Despacito.
I've been reading books of old, the legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Achilles and his gifts, and Spider-Man's control, and Batman with his fist. And clearly I don't see myself upon that. She said, where'd you wanna go? How
Welcome back to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams, broadcasting live on Penguin Radio at Dominican University in California, 102.3 FM. And today on Instagram Live, I'm joined now by a friend of the show and NBA superfan, Sam Greenville. Sam, where's Kyrie Irving going?
You know what? Right now it seems a little bit turbulent, or it's too soon to tell based on the big shocking news of this. But in my honest opinion, I would have to say most likely a Western Conference team like the Suns or maybe the Timberwolves. But I don't know. Right now, it's hard to match exactly where he's going based on where he wants to go and based on what the Cavaliers can actually get for him.
So, obviously, he does not have a no-trade clause, which really limits his ability to choose his own destiny. If you were the Cavs right now, who has the most to offer you for your short-term future if you want to get back to the finals next year?
You know what? That's actually a tough question. If you were going long-term, I would definitely say the Boston Celtics with all their first-round picks of the future. But if you had to say short-term, I heard a great idea that the Minnesota Timberwolves getting Andrew Wiggins back would actually be great for the Cavaliers just because he's a great scorer, and I think LeBron could help him out a lot and boost those stats and make him possibly a third-team All-NBA.
Now, do you think Andrew Wiggins wants to go back and play with a guy that basically forced him out of Cleveland? I mean, he was drafted number one overall 3 years ago, and LeBron said, I don't want to play with a young 18-year-old. I want Kevin Love. We're shipping you off to no man's land in Minnesota. And, you know, Andrew Wiggins is kind of getting the last laugh over here, now playing for maybe the next super team.
You know what? I think right now it's actually the least popular LeBron's ever been in the eyes of a lot of the players, because a lot of players I don't think want to go to Cleveland, not only just because of how volatile the situation is there, but also because he's going to be leaving most likely next year because of Kyrie and not being able to compete with the Warriors. So, you know what? It's kind of a bad situation. This is the first time ever no one wants to really play with LeBron anymore.
Yeah. So, getting back to the Timberwolves, if you trade Andrew, let's say you trade Andrew Wiggins straight up for Kyrie Irving, does that make Minnesota that much better? Because you have Jeff Teague to run point, you would have Jimmy Butler at the two, Andrew Wiggins at the three, Taj Gibson at the four, and Karl Anthony Towns at the five. You're giving up something to get something when you already just signed a point guard in Jeff Teague.
You know, the plus minus probably for that would be like probably plus 4 or 5 points based on Kyrie being able to, you know, kind of run the show his own way. But I also think he brings that new experience that he's also had with the three title runs for Cleveland, which obviously the Timberwolves don't have any of. And the only person who really has real experience on the Timberwolves would probably be Jimmy Butler. And God knows the Bulls haven't been deep into the playoffs ever. So I think he would bring more than anything leadership and experience along with scoring ability.
But Kyrie wants to run his own team, and if you're going to Minnesota, it's not your own team. I mean, I would put Karl Anthony Towns and even Jimmy Butler above Kyrie on the pecking order if he went there tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? The situation for Kyrie could not be worse. Like, the timing could not be worse. There's no teams right now that need a point guard, because every good team or contending team already has a starting point guard, and all the teams that potentially could get him are terrible, like the Knicks or the Suns. So Kyrie's kind of in this horrible situation. The timing was not very well, you know, placed, but I guess he finally said enough was enough with playing with LeBron, and I guess the Warriors beating them pushed them over the edge.
So you're Kobe Altman, general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers. What do you do? Where do you trade him? Gun pointed to your head tomorrow.
You know what, this is, I honestly think you have to completely think about the future, because LeBron's gone, I'm pretty sure, no matter what. There's no way they're going to be able to
get him. No, he's absolutely gone.
There's no way you're not going to get the assets you need. So if I'm honest, I would trade Kyrie probably to the Boston Celtics, or maybe a team that has a lot of future picks. The Knicks really
Why would you trade
anything.
Him to your biggest competitor?
I don't know. I think at this point you kind of just need to get as much as you possibly can. There's nothing you can really get now. That's going to make you happy and make you compete next year.
So you're giving up the East to Boston, because if you trade them to Boston, you're basically sacrificing the East.
Yeah, you know, well, I just – there's nothing really to do. I think this is kind of a no-win situation for the Cavaliers. If you get players now that are ready to play right now, they're not going to win next year pretty much – well, not no matter what, but they're not going to win next year unless if something catastrophic happens to any of the Western teams. And LeBron's going to probably leave because he's sick of, you know, Dan Gilbert and that organization. So, to be honest, you kind of just got to build up for the future if I was running the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Now, do you think Kyrie left – obviously, there's reports that have come out that it has a lot to do with LeBron James. Do you think LeBron James's attitude of me first, you know, selfish, I'm going to run the show, I'm going to do everything, has finally caught up to him? And it was Kyrie Irving that finally says, I've had enough of you. You might be the best player in the world, but you don't get to run everything.
I think LeBron, I think we finally see that he's taken off too much. Like, he's taken on too much responsibility. He's basically the coach of the Cavaliers. He's basically the GM, also the superstar of the team. I think he's kind of forgotten to put team or, you know, his teammates first. I mean, there's reports that when he goes to play other teams, that he has dinner with the other teams like Chris Paul or, you know, Dwayne Wade or any of the Banana Boat Boys.
I feel like he's stopped caring as much.
Yeah,
I feel like it's not as much basketball for him anymore. It's all about brand. It's all about legacy. And it's not about the actual ins and outs of the game. And to me, it feels like he doesn't care as much about winning anymore.
Yeah, I think after that 3-1 comeback, I think he's kind of just on cruise control. It's kind of like being a second semester senior. He doesn't really care anymore.
That was a perfect analogy. He just kind of, like, you could tell when he lost the finals this year that he almost expected to lose the finals.
Wasn't he happy or like smiling at the end of the game?
He said, quote unquote, at least I was the first one to average a triple double in the finals.
He doesn't care anymore. It's all about kind of building his brand and, you know, possibly owning the Cleveland Cavaliers in the future or getting more money.
So if you're Kyrie Irving, and this has been my take all along, it makes absolute sense to want to get the hell out of there, right?
Yeah, I think he's jumping ship before it, you know, sinks. There's nothing good that's going to come out of Cleveland coming up soon.
Kyrie Irving to me is like the guy that was about to walk on board of the Titanic, got a bad feeling about it, and walked away.
I agree. I think I don't understand. I don't think he's putting it out there quite the way that he wants to state how he feels. Like, I don't think the way that he wants to leave is being stated correctly. I think he should be honest and just say, I want to leave before I get left, in my opinion. I don't think he's really been truthfully honest about it. And I don't know, he hasn't said firsthand if he wants to leave, but, you know,
he hasn't said anything. And I think that's just awful to do for an organization in a city that you came back 3 years ago and said, you know, I love you, Cleveland. I'm going to come back. I'm going to bring a title to you. Wrote a whole message to them. And now he's just hanging them out to dry. And I think for all those LeBron apologists out there, actually look in the mirror and realize this is your star player. This is your superstar, Cleveland. A guy that won't even commit to you a year down the road. Anyways, up next, what does the greatest player in the world, LeBron James, think of all this? Leo Sievey joins us to discuss that, so stay tuned. You're listening to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams, live on Penguin Radio at Dominican University in California, broadcasting live on 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks.
You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you could get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers. Be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
Southside, got braids in hair. First time I seen her walk by, man, I about fell up on my chair. Had to get her number, and it took me like 6 weeks. Now me and her go way back, like Cadillac 6. Body like a back row, driving with my eyes closed. I know every curve like the back of my hand. Doing 15 in 30. Just as fast as I can. The way she fits in them blue jeans, she don't need no belt. But I can turn them inside out, I don't need no help. Got hips like honey, so thick and so sweet. There ain't no curves like hers on them downtown streets.
Welcome back to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams, broadcasting live at Dominican University in California on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM and on Instagram Live for the second time in a row. I'm joined now by Leo Sievey, who came all the way from Santa Barbara to discuss LeBron James with me. Leo, what does this all mean for LeBron and his future?
He's done. He's done. You know, I know there's a lot of LeBron James fans out there who's going, look, this guy's faced stuff like this before. He was in Cleveland when no one else was. He went to Miami, learned how to win rings, came back, and gave Cleveland what they really wanted. But, you know, I honestly think it's just, it's like a social game with LeBron. Okay? You leave Cleveland one. And you go, I'm sorry, I have to learn how to win rings. I need to be the best. I need to learn how to go out there and do that. And then he goes out, wins a few rings, and comes back, writes like a little, you know.
Apology note.
Yeah, I'm back, baby, let's go. But it's like, it's literally just putting up a blinder to what he just did to Cleveland, in all honesty. Like, you just left your hometown.
No, this is, I'll explain exactly what he did so the audience gets it here. LeBron James cheated on his girlfriend, then came back, wrote a really, really nice text message to her, and she's like, okay, we're all good. Let's get back together. That's Cleveland is LeBron James's ex-girlfriend that he came back to. And now a couple of years later, he realized why he wanted to get out of there. And he won his championship. You know, it was nice. It was good. Maybe they had a kid together. He values the kid. He's going to bring the kid with him. The kid's his ring, obviously. But he's getting out of town.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, and Kyrie, I'm sorry, pal. You're the person who had to sit with that on his shoulders. I mean, take it from Kyrie's point of view. You get pulled in. You're like, all right, you know what? I'm the big guy in Cleveland. LeBron left. I have to get something going again. I have to get these, you know, fans back into it. Because if you don't have the fans behind you, like, it's almost nothing.
No, Kyrie needs to get out of there. Kyrie owes nothing to Cleveland.
Oh, no.
Absolutely nothing. You know what? He's not from there. That team surrounded him with nothing. They had four coaches before LeBron showed up. They said, you know what, Kyrie, we're going to build a team around you, kind of like the Warriors did with Steph and the Suns did with Steve Nash. And 2 weeks later, LeBron up and decides to come home, and they give up on that, and they basically give the big, fat middle finger to Kyrie and say, you're going to have to deal with this. You're under contract. You and LeBron could do great things together. Have fun with that. And Kyrie was never about that life. Kyrie was always about it. Always about the fact that I want to be me. I have that Mamba Kobe mentality, and I want to run my own team.
Exactly. And going back to your little joke before, in the whole relationship thing, Kyrie's the ugly friend who, you know, picked the girl up and was like, stop crying, you don't need LeBron. And then LeBron came back, and the girl dropped that ugly friend.
Kyrie got friend-zoned
by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay, and now he's like, LeBron, fork in the back, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm gone. I don't need this.
He has the complete right to do so. If I was Kyrie Irving, I'd run out of town. I'd basically say, I'm just not playing for you. I don't want to be around this guy who's literally fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a completely almost off topic. I will sit here and debate that Kyrie is not as good as Steph, but Kyrie is a top 2 point guard in the league. He does not need LeBron.
Kyrie Irving is better than Russell Westbrook, and I just said it.
Yes.
And I don't care. He is better than the reigning MVP.
He needs a few key players just to help him out. Just a few guys to, you know, like, have his back, basically. We already know he's clutch in clutch time games. We all saw that, Warriors fans.
My question to you, Leo, you take the 2016 pre-Kevin Durant Warriors, you swap out Kyrie Irving with Steph Curry. Do they make the finals in the West?
Yes.
I completely agree with you, and I don't like agreeing with you, but I completely agree with you. Kyrie Irving is a big-time player. He can't play defense, so you would have to position him with the right type of players. But if you added a sidekick like a Klay Thompson to a Kyrie Irving, that is a perfect mesh of talent. Kyrie Irving did not succeed by himself because he was never given a true opportunity to succeed by himself. He had those 3 or 4 years with coaches and GMs out the door every 4 months. And then LeBron James came in, and, you know, LeBron ran the team and the offense, and the defense was run through LeBron James with the players being picked to form a half-court offense around LeBron. And now he wants his own team.
I mean, and you just can't blame the guy. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan. I hate him. I'll say it. But even if you take out the feelings I have for LeBron, Kyrie is 110% is allowed to leave. Anyone in his shoes would be like, I'm done. This is not what I signed up for. I came here. You gave me Andrew Wiggins. And then you gave me LeBron.
So
LeBron gave away Andrew Wiggins. It was like, I want Kevin Love. Kyrie stayed. Okay? They lost. Kyrie stayed. Kyrie literally would ask LeBron, what can I do to win? Kevin Love did it.
So
they all did. They followed him. And once he took him there, he's like, I don't need this anymore. I have 3 rings in Miami. I brought Cleveland a ring. I'm being talked with MJ as who's the GOAT. He doesn't need it.
No. And look, he's going, like, do you believe he's going to Los Angeles next year?
No.
Oh, no, he's going to Los Angeles next year.
No, he's not. No,
where's he going?
Who's LA going to give up for him?
No, what? He's a free agent.
Well, okay. I don't think they'll sign him.
No,
I don't.
He's going to Los Angeles. He's going to go be a movie star. He's going to be in Space Jam 2. He's going to big box office guy. He's going to go build his brand. He's going to Los Angeles.
No, because look at this.
He's not staying in Cleveland.
LeBron has no more blinders. No, like, his blinder for Cleveland was, let me learn how to win. Everyone was like, okay, burned a few jerseys, it was over. Came back, wrote a big apology, blinder. Okay? Everyone's like, fine, LeBron, you came back. We got Kyrie, we're getting Kevin Love. We're coming back into it. Okay? What is his blinder now?
He wants to go chase that Michael Jordan status of legacy, where it's like he goes to LA and he builds his brand so high, and whether it's through the movie business because he owns a production company or agency or clothes or X, Y, and Z, he doesn't care about basketball anymore. Sure, he'd love to win a couple championships, but that's not his main focus. He doesn't care anymore. He wants to go be a Laker. He wants to be part of Showtime. He's always wanted to be part of Showtime, but he's following this career arc, Colin Cowherd said it, where it's basically like, first you show everyone what you got. And that's what he did in Cleveland. And then you go win championships. And then you're a mogul. And he wants to be a mogul. And he wants to go to LA to be a mogul. You're not going to be a mogul in Cleveland. If he was going to stay in Cleveland, he would have told Cleveland, I'm staying in long term. Sign me up for $201 million. Kyrie, you're staying with me, buddy. We're going to ride this out. We're going to win championships. We're going to get Paul George. We're going to do all these things. But no, he didn't. He hasn't said anything. All he's done is go to Laker games in Vegas and work out with players on other teams.
Because he knows if he says anything, everyone's listening. Anything he says right now is scrutinized. Anything he says is written down, remembered. Everyone's going to know he said it. He can't say, oh, yeah, L.A. looks good right now, because then everyone's like, okay, you're going to L.A.
But so why not say, I'm loyal to Cleveland. I was born here. I was raised here. I came back for a reason.
Because he's gone. He's done in Cleveland.
So he's leaving Cleveland. Where is he going?
I don't know, but there's no other team that logically control?
There's no other team that logically makes sense for him.
Who wants a player on cruise control? Thank you, Sam Greenville, for cruise control.
Who wants the best player in the world? I think 31 other teams want the best player in the world.
That's okay. You know what? I'll get off my high horse. Any team would probably die to have LeBron. But coming from, let's take the Lakers. Okay, you already have it built for the future. Like, why waste all of that money on LeBron?
You could add
key other players to help.
Who are you going to add? You're going to add Paul George?
No. Just key vets that can help your... You know, your young team succeed. You have the ball. You have Ingram.
What if they don't work out? You have a chance to compete for championships a year from now. If you sign the best player in the world, if you sign Paul George, all of a sudden you have a young roster, which LeBron has never had, so he can take nights off whenever he wants to, because LeBron likes taking nights off. He's got guys with fresh legs out there. He'll have another star in Paul George that will follow him there because they're buddies, because LeBron James is apparently buddies with everyone except Kyrie Irving. And you'll have Lonzo Ball, who's an upcoming star that LeBron can mentor. It works out perfectly. He wants to be a Laker.
If he were to, which he is, he's leaving Cleveland. LA does make sense. But I just don't see it happening.
Well, that's all the time we have. Leo, thank you so much. Up next, will the Baltimore Ravens stop Colin Kaepernick from being our generation's version of Muhammad Ali? So stay tuned for that. You're listening to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams, live on Penguin Radio at Dominican University in California, broadcasting live on 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu.
lover, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends at the table doing shots, tripping fast, and then we talk slow. Come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come, come on now, follow my lead. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. Well, I'm in love with your body.
Welcome back in the zone. I'm Taylor Williams, broadcasting live on Penguin Radio at Dominican University in California, 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu. I teased this during the break, or right before the break. Colin Kaepernick has recently come out in a story generated by John Harbaugh, the coach of the Baltimore Ravens, where Harbaugh basically said, I've been talking to Kaepernick all summer. We've been discussing a possibility of Colin Kaepernick coming and being the backup quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this news got amplified more when Joe Flacco injured his back and is now out for 4 to 6 weeks. Joe Flacco, obviously the Super Bowl winning quarterback in the last Super Bowl, which just so happened to be played against the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick. Now, it's been a long journey for Kaepernick since that moment when he unfortunately got picked off and did not win that Super Bowl. Sorry, swatted down. Kaepernick, obviously, the next year went back to the NFC Championship game, got picked off by Richard Sherman. The following year, rough 8-8 season, coach got fired. Following year, injuries. Following year, national anthem protests. And since then, it's been a slippery slope for Colin Kaepernick. It's been rough, and he has evolved and changed, not just as a player, but also as a man. I want to first talk about the football side of this. Colin Kaepernick's a perfect fit for the Baltimore Ravens, just as a backup quarterback alone. You can't tell me that in a league where it's completely quarterback dependent, Colin Kaepernick, a guy that 5 years ago made it to the Super Bowl, that last year was at least a replacement level quarterback, can't fill in for you the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. I'm not telling you that he should be the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. He doesn't need to be. That's just, he does not need to be. But, or the starting quarterback for any other team. But he can and should be a backup quarterback in this league. He has all the talent to be able to do so. I mean, if you're looking at guys like Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer that get opportunities to not only be a backup quarterback but to start in this league, then Colin Kaepernick sure as hell should have that opportunity. And I'm not, and whether you are for or against his political stance, that shouldn't matter because this is a meritocracy, and sports is all about that. I mean, Jackie Robinson was the first one to break the color barrier, and that's because he was a good player, not just because he was African American. Sports has always been about a meritocracy. Politics should never get involved in that. But it's a bigger picture issue, obviously, with Colin Kaepernick, one that had the country captivated last year. Should Colin Kaepernick, kneeling for the protests and talking about and raising awareness for police brutality, and brutality versus African Americans and racism, have an effect on whether he should be playing in the NFL? And whether you agree with it or not, and I'm not here to pass along my political views, he should be playing in the league. Now, where he should be playing, that is really determined on who's watching and who wants and what city is really going to be accepting of Colin Kaepernick, because he has to go to a perfect situation. He can't go anywhere. And as much as I'd love to say that every city in the United States of America is the same and has the same views, it doesn't. I mean, just look at our current political climate. You're in California, it's a lot different than if you're in rural Alabama. It's the way it goes. Baltimore is a perfect fit, though, for Colin Kaepernick. One, because it's a mostly African-American community. There, they have been dealing with recent issues in police brutality, and Kaepernick can be looked at as sort of like a savior or a hero to that community. There was a couple instances of murders from young black males by police officers, and there's a lot of unrest in that city, enough so that I remember they had to close down a Baltimore Orioles game because of it. And Kaepernick, I think, would be welcomed by many in that community. Also, the coach for the Ravens is John Harbaugh, who was brothers with Jim Harbaugh, Kaepernick's coach, the guy that really mentored Kaepernick, gave him the opportunity to lead that 49ers team to the Super Bowl. So he already has a built-in relationship with this coach. He understands his political views. He understands that he just wants to play football, and that Kaepernick is not going to be a distraction to the Ravens. He just wants the opportunity to play football. Look, Colin Kaepernick's been blackballed by most of the NFL. John Mara came out and said very candidly that our fans don't want Colin Kaepernick on this team. They'll rebel. They won't, you know, go to games. They won't watch. They won't do this. And it's put a lot of pressure under the owners. The Ravens have an opportunity to make Colin Kaepernick avoid being this generation's Muhammad Ali. And by that, I mean Muhammad Ali, who famously decided back during Vietnam that he did not want to serve in the war. He did not want to enter the draft because of his religion. He had recently turned Muslim, and he did not believe in violence. Muhammad Ali was shunned for that. He couldn't get a job for nearly 6 years. He was out of professional boxing. He lost most of his prime. And he was a great champion. I'm not saying that Colin Kaepernick is that great of a player, or Colin Kaepernick's stance is that great, or he will ever even be close to a quarter of the man that Muhammad Ali is. But your political views or your religious views should never, in this great country, have an effect on if you can get a job or not, when you are absolutely talented enough to. It affected Muhammad Ali. And I thought we were past that point. And if Colin Kaepernick doesn't get a job, then we're not past that point. Thank you. Coming up after the break, we're going to have a little roundtable discussion, so stay tuned. Please ask questions on Instagram Live. Sam Greenville and Leo Seavey are going to come back to answer all of them for you. You're listening to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams, broadcasting live on Penguin Radio, Dominican University, 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu.
Oh, I want something just like this. I want something just like this. In the books of old, the legends and the myths, the testaments they told, the moonlit eclipse, and simple. See
Welcome back to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams, broadcasting live here at Dominican University in California on 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu. I'm joined now live by both Leo Seavey and Sam Greenville, who have been with us earlier in the show. And guys, we're taking fan questions. So all of you out there, all one of you so far right now, ask us any questions that you have, and we're going to answer them as long as they're appropriate enough to go over the air. I want to first start by asking you guys, since we were talking NBA for most of the show, especially Kyrie Irving, and the Cavs kind of look depleted right now. Leo, I'll start with you. Who won the NBA offseason?
In my opinion, the Celtics. They just got Gordon Hayward. They already have Isaiah Thomas. They already have Avery Bradley. They have everybody they need, you know? I think that piece to them was the one to push them over Cleveland. And then with this whole Kyrie incident, it's just, I mean, Cleveland's out, and we all know what the East is like.
All right. Everyone else, I just want to remind you, for the viewers watching, ask us any questions that you want to. We are free to answer.
That's about what this, sports.
Yeah, about sports.
Please.
Would the Ben Putman asked, would the 15-16 Warriors beat the 95-96 Bulls? So you're talking about the 73-win Warriors? Sam, I'll leave that to you.
If it's a 73-win Warriors, there's no way. I don't think they would even – I don't know. Not compete is a little bit too strong. But the 95-96 Bulls would run over the 15-16 Warriors, the 73-win team, just because, obviously, of the breakdown last year. And I think last year we got – or, well, now 2 years ago, we got shown that, you know, they weren't very tough physically and mentally, which they obviously fixed this year. But, yeah, I think if you were talking about this year's team, I think that would be a completely different story.
So you think this year's team beats them?
It's really hard to say because you can never compare eras, but I think it would be a pretty good game because now that you have Kevin Durant, I mean, you're going pretty much one-on-one. You have Clay on Michael. You have Scottie on KD. Ron Harper could probably defend Stephen Curry, but I think maybe the Warriors' firepower might actually beat that Bulls team. It's kind of hard to say. You can never compare, but if I had to choose, I'd say the Warriors might win that, actually.
Leo, what do you think?
I mean, Sam and I talk about this constantly, and he put it perfectly. One, it's almost impossible to compare these two eras. We have completely different rules now. I mean, you can't touch basically anybody in the NBA anymore.
That's right.
While like MJ's era, they would hold, just grab guys. But
it's a way better game back then.
Oh yeah. So 15-16 Warriors when we went 73, I'm gonna have to agree with Sam. I think we'd lose. But honestly, still with KD, I think we would probably go down.
I think it also depends whichever rules you're playing. If you're playing back then rules, then they would definitely beat us. But
just
if you're
dominate.
Playing nowadays, rule, yeah, they would destroy us with the refs back then. But if you had the refs win today's game, I think it would probably be a series.
So the Warriors now, I mean, look, they didn't lose anyone following this championship run. I mean, are they even going to be a better team next year with more experience? Obviously playing more together. There was a couple injuries throughout the year with Kevin Durant and stuff. Is the continuity alone just going to make them five times better of a team?
They're going to be a better team, but it's going to be weird. It won't exactly show because I think now that they had their redemption, they got their two rings. Now the regular season is kind of a joke like it is for LeBron. They don't really care about the regular season. It's probably going to be, you know, a 65-win team because they're not going to try very hard. They could easily break their own record, honestly. I don't think anyone could come close to beating them if they actually took every game like it was a finals game. But now, yeah, I think the regular season is going to be a bit of a joke, and we're going to see a very similar playoff run where they don't win or lose any games until maybe the Western Conference Finals this year.
Okay. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, are we basically looking at the next Patriots with the Warriors? Just a team that is so far and above every other team in the league that maybe they won't win it every year. With the Warriors, it seems like they will, but they're just going to dominate for X amount of years.
Yeah. Go ahead, Leo.
Well, I mean, besides who we've added to the team this free agency, I mean, you just have to realize last year we went through a process. There were games where it looked like we were awful. We lost to the Lakers 1 point.
Oh yeah.
Everyone was like, "What? JaVale McGee wasn't on the hell team. That's why happening."
That was bad.
JaVale McGee wasn't on the
team.
But
we've molded. We've learned how to play with KD, with Klay. Klay had to step down and go, "You know what? Like, I'm not as much of that straightaway catch and shoot type of guy as I was the year before." But now that we've played a year together, we won a ring together. I feel like we're just, you know, it's clicked. It's only forward from here.
And, yeah, to add on to Leah, this is the first time ever that we've had – well, obviously there's been four superstars, but four superstars that are actually willing to know their place and to take sacrifices for each other.
Oh, so not LeBron's? Oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Stephen Curry could average, you know, 32 points on another team. Klay Thompson could be the star of another team. Kevin Durant obviously showed what he could do in OKC. Draymond's a different story, but I think this is the first time ever that we've had four unselfish players, and I don't think we'll ever see anything like it again.
Don't you think, though – if this because this model is trying to be copycatted. It's trying to over the league, and if this is progressively how the league is going, that it's going to be buddy-buddy superstar league, that we're actually going to see less of these guys' full potentials. Because if you look at the Warriors, I mean, besides Durant now, you're not really going to see any of these guys max out their potential. You're going to see 90% of all of them.
I think it's going to be weird. I don't think that'll actually happen, to be honest. I think that Houston, that experiment will fail, to be honest with you. And I think that that buddy-buddy thing will not work. I think that will not work out in the long run. I think this is just a fad for the next 3 or 4 years, to be honest, right now.
It's interesting you said Houston, because I believe, and I was talking to someone about this today, that if Houston gets Carmelo Anthony, they – and I said this in the beginning, and I've – started to change my mind on it. A lot of people think if they get Carmelo Anthony, it's adding another ISO score, blah, 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 blah. There's only enough ball for one, you know what I mean? There's only enough of the ball to go so far around. But no, I don't tend to follow that belief at all anymore. That I think if they get Carmelo Anthony, if you put him on a team like he was on USA Basketball, he's going to go. And he's going to be vicious. And I think it's like pulling someone out that is just for so long basically been stuck in a hole and, you know, said, I just want to score. You know, I'm in New York. We're not going to win anyways. I might as well get buckets. But now he has a chance to win. Leah, what do you think?
Oh, gosh. With Melo, I'm really on the fence. Looking last year at what happened in New York was nothing. No one wanted to watch that. No one wanted to watch a Knicks game. I mean, Melo shot, what, like 4 or 5 buzzer beaters and airballed them? So I'm on the fence about him.
Don't you talk bad about
him. I'm
on
the fence about Melo. But the real question is in Houston is how is CP3 and James Harden point guard? Like, what? How is that working?
I'll tell you how. James Harden's going to be the shooting guard. That's how it's going to work out. There's no way. If that team works, there's no way that Chris Paul isn't the point guard and isn't the lead point guard. It's just his personality. He is so tenacious. He's going to want that ball.
Well, I mean, where else are you going to put CP3, you know?
Yeah. All right, I want to transition to the NFL, ask a couple questions before we end the show. The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, God.
Leo, I know that's your favorite team over there. What do you think about just the way that organization is run, when every other day there's someone getting arrested or someone getting suspended?
Hey, man. They proved he was guilty, okay? Or, no, he was...
He was innocent.
Yeah, innocent, sorry.
Lucky was innocent. He got lucky.
Lucky was innocent, okay? But
he's a Jet now. He doesn't matter anymore.
I don't... You love the Cowboys. Why are you backing on
my... Let me go on camera for this. I am unapologetically a Cowboys fan. Dak Prescott will win an MVP in the next 3 years. The Dallas Cowboys are going to win a Super Bowl championship as soon as Tom Brady retires, because I'm not ready to crown anyone else a champion before he does. But, man, Leo, they just can't stop getting themselves out of trouble.
I know. And, I mean, I just don't even want to look at the off-field issues right now. In my opinion, right now, the Cowboys are the next Green Bay.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my goodness!
Yes.
Oh, come on, come on, Leo.
Eddie
Join
Lacy,
the bandwagon.
Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott.
No,
if he can stay out of trouble, Ezekiel Elliott will be twice the player Eddie is.
Okay,
Eddie's a chubster.
Leo, you join. I'll buy you a Cowboys hat. You join the bandwagon.
You do that right
next to Terrell Owens. We're going all the way to the Super Bowl.
But the thing is,
you heard it first.
With them being the new Green Bay, can they actually finish?
Green Bay hasn't fished in a while either,
no.
To be honest with you.
Exactly.
Hey.
They can make it to playoffs all they want, but are you going to win that
ring? How about
ring?
Them, Cowboys?
Can they win the ring?
Sam,
I'm
going
to drop a bomb. Ezekiel Elliott is the new Terrell Owens. You heard it first here.
Odell Beckham is the new Terrell Owens.
A problem child. Great player, problem child. That is, you heard
you
it
ever,
first here. Sam
don't
Greenville.
You ever disrespect him. He's the best running back in the league.
Wow.
Better than Le'Veon Bell.
He didn't do anything to her. At all.
Wow. You are taking shots at Zeke. Terrell Owens, Ezekiel Elliott, Sam Greenville. Mark it on your calendars.
All right, and we'll leave it there because it's 6 o'clock. You've been listening to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams. Thank you guys for joining me. It's been a great show.
Thank you, Taylor.
Yeah, we are Thank broadcasting you. Live on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu. We'll see you next week.